Song, there is a river that flows from deep within. I love that look of the dying calf in a hailstorm. When I look at him and say, you know that song, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. You can stay seated. Stay seated. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees my soul from sin. Come to these waters. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Let's sing it one more time. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees my soul from sin. Come to these waters. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. One more time. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that saves my soul from sin. Come to these waters. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. We could sing that for the next hour, couldn't we? We might. I don't know. We might. I don't know what the Lord's going to do. He might open up this river of life. This river of life. This river of life, Frank. Carter, there's a river of life inside of you. Young ladies, there's a river of life inside of you. And it never shall run dry. Never. There's an abundant supply of this life. Every time we talk about life, we think of, oh, hallelujah, when I die and I go into the sweet by and by. And the Lord says, no, children. My life is an ever-present life. The lady at the well said, we know, Lord, that when the Messiah comes... She's standing by that well. We know that when he comes, and there he stood right in front of her. I am the well, Lil. I am the life. I'm the well inside of you. I flow. Come to these waters. Drink of these waters, Isaiah said. It's free of charge. You don't have to bring your tithe. You don't have to bring an offering. You really don't. You have to bring your heart. Because when God's got your heart, He's got your money. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need one dime that you've got. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills that the cattle stand on. But the principle in the kingdom of God is give, and you shall receive. So if you give, whatever you've got, mostly your heart, starts with your heart, because He really doesn't want money if you're not cheerful about giving it. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Don't give it. If you can't reach into your pocket, I had no idea I was going to go this way. But if you can't reach into your pocket and throw $5 or $500 in the collection plate, cheerfully giving it to the Lord and saying, Lord, what You've done for me. There is no greater sacrifice. This $5, this $500, this $5,000, this $50,000, it's no sacrifice, Lord. I don't give this as a sacrifice. There is no greater sacrifice than Calvary. Can you give anything greater than Calvary to the Father? That's how we come into His presence, by Calvary. We don't come in by the works we've done. We don't come in by our great preaching skills. We don't come in by the great wealth we have, and we've built churches here, and we've did this, and we've did that. We bring the sacrifice of praise. And that sacrifice of praise is the Holy One on the cross. That's the sacrifice that we praise God for. That's what we bring into the sanctuary. Bring the sacrifice of praise. Well, bless God, I sacrificed. I put up with my wife today. She was in a lousy mood, but I didn't fight back, so I made a sacrifice for You, Lord. That's not what He's talking about. The ultimate sacrifice has already been made. We have such a funny way of thinking. If we want to change our life, we got to change our thinking. If we want to change our family, we've got to change our way of thinking. If we want to change the church, we've got to change our way of thinking. How can I change my way of thinking? $64 question. How can I change my way of thinking? The Lord says, you can't. You cannot change your way of thinking. You can't do it. Stop trying. Well, every morning I get up, I say, bless God, I'm not going to curse anymore. I tell myself all day, I ain't going to curse. And you stub your toe, oh, damn it. And you make your vows to God. And you're going to do all this stuff within your own willpower. And the Lord says, all you're doing is beating yourself up. And then what happens when we're not successful at changing the areas of our life? In order to understand why I haven't changed, I start blaming God. Well, if You wanted me to change, I'd change. I don't know what You're doing in my life. I've thought these ugly thoughts for 57 years. How do we go about changing our thinking? How do we get our mind renewed? This is a supernatural thing that I'm talking about here. This isn't anything within our own ability. The only thing that we can do is go to God. We got to go to God. We got to get alone with God. We got to fellowship with the river of life within ourselves. So, Brother Jim, I was with a young man this week. He's got a young family. a lot of bills to pay, children to raise. And I was talking to him about what I was going to be ministering on here Sunday morning. I said, the Lord's really been laying it heavy on my heart that we got to understand that this life that's inside of us is an ever-present Jesus. He's here. He wants to be a very intricate part of our life. And I said, we've got to take some time. We got to get still before God and start knowing that He is God. He is Lord. He is in charge of our life. My God, it was just like our sister said here. You know, think about the planets. Think about the oceans. I used to stand down in Florida on that beach, and that ocean will only come so far. I marvel at that. He handles all those things. But yet we worry about this, about that. I'm 72 years old, and when I look back on my life, I say, all those things I worried about, when I look, I go, why'd I worry? They all passed. They all blew over. Really? I don't care how old you are. Stop and think about all the worrying you do and look back on your life. Christ died on Calvary. You died in Him. You died with Him. Reckon yourself dead. Paul said, reckon yourself dead. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. He didn't just say Christ was crucified for me. He said, I was crucified with Christ. It's not I that liveth anymore, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And I was talking to this young man, and the young man's response to me when I said, get alone with God. I said, even if you want to start this habit of getting alone with God, even if it's 5 minutes a day, just 5 minutes a day, just say, okay, at 9 or 10 or whenever you get the time, whenever, 5 minutes a day. And I told this young man, I said, just do 5 minutes a day. He said, my life's so complicated. I mean, between my family, my kids, my job, going on and on and on. And I'll tell you something, the Lord spoke to me right then and there in that restaurant. He said, you tell this young man that if he starts spending time with me, his life won't be so complicated. How many times do we go to God, Lord, I'm so confused. I just don't know which end is up. Lord, my body's aching. Lord, the doctor told me I got cancer. Doctor told me I got a bad heart. The Lord says, I want you to start coming to me before those things hit you. I don't mind you coming to me when they do hit you. I understand. I walked as a man. I'm touched with the feelings of your infirmities. But if you'll come into my presence, start coming into my presence and getting still before me and learning who I am and knowing who I am and how powerful I am and who you are in me, your real identity of who you are in me, you'll understand why these things can't even touch you. When he walked this earth, he didn't talk about the cancer he had in his body or aches or pains or anything of that nature. God wants us to walk as a healed people. He wants us to walk well and healthy. Because instead of spending our time beating on His door all the time for healings, He wants us to go forth with healing power. Instead of us going to the Lord all the time with the confusions in our life, He wants us to go to other people and give them direction and get them out of the confusion that's in their life. How can I do this? By spending time with the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord, He will renew them. He will renew them. They'll think differently. They'll talk differently. They'll act differently. They'll walk differently. You won't even have to minister to people. They'll come to you. They'll come to you because they'll see a presence about you that you're walking in. It's not your presence. It's His presence. God wants to change our thinking. There's so many things in our thinking right now. I don't want to make this a negative sermon, and I'm not going to go that direction. But there's so many things in my thinking and in our thinking that we are comfortable with. We have made a shrine out of these things. We have made them a memorial in our mind. They have become strongholds, the way we think. And the Lord says, I need you to come. I need you to come. He talked about those guys who were alienated from the Lord because of the ignorance that was in their mind. They were alienated. I look up that word ignorance, and I just happened to look at it, and the first few letters was I-G-N-O-R, ignorance. And the Lord says, I'm being ignored. I-G-N-O-R. That's what ignorance is. Ignorance is simply ignoring the Lord. Oh, now, Jim, you're starting to get negative. You're picking on us. I know we're a crowd don't like to be picked on. I know that. So if anything looks like it's going to start hitting you, you better look at it and say, I better examine that, because when it starts touching things in me, those are the things the Lord wants you to look at. Those are the things He wants you to look at. And when you get angry through the course of a day, you need to stop and say, Lord, why did I get angry? Why do I get angry at that person just by looking at them? They don't even say nothing to me, and I get angry. Why? Does God want us to think that way? He says, love your brother. Pray for those who despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil about you. Forgive. Forgive. The Lord says, I can't do anything through you that I can't do in you. If you won't forgive, how am I going to show you to the world as a forgiver and a lover? If you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, He says, if you won't allow me to take that away from you, how am I going to manifest that through you? If you won't love your brother, how am I going to manifest my love through you? They're stones in the stream of life. They're stones in the stream of life that wants to flow. It's time. Ecclesiastes says to cast away stones. Cast away the stones. Roll back the stone. Let the Lord out. Roll back the stone. Get rid of the law. Jesus said, I made a new covenant with you. Not like the old covenant. The old covenant, you had to conform to something. The laws were there, and you better do them. And you had to conform to those laws. And if you didn't, you were in trouble. But you know something? You can't blame God. Because all along, God wanted to bless them. He always talked about the land of promise and prosperity. And I'll take healing, I'll take sickness and disease away from the midst of thee. All you have to do is do this. They couldn't do it. So sickness and disease come down on them. You know what they probably said? God's processing me. I'm going to be better now because God's beating me up. The Lord says, I took the beating. I took the beating. Moses wanted to smite the rock twice. God says, you can't do that. It's already been smote. You smite it again, you won't enter into the promised land. Don't go in and beat my body up. Don't do it. You won't be able to come into the promised land with that kind of a message. I don't think we can process the death out of us, but I do believe that we can believe into life. And I think that's what the Lord is saying in John when he says, this is the work that I want you to do. This is the work that I want you to do. This is a do thing. I know a lot of Christians don't like to do. I don't like to do a lot. Jesus said, this is all the Father's asking you to do, is believe into the one whom he has sent. Can you do that? Can you believe in Jesus Christ? Can you spend time with him? Can you believe that he lives inside of you? Can you believe that he's your very life, that he wants to live his life through you? Now, I know the thought of laying down my life isn't very pleasing. I got a pretty good life. But when I start spending time with the Lord, all of a sudden my life looks like dung. Did you hear what I said? My life looks like dung compared to fellowshipping with God and compared to walking in his presence. There's nothing more wonderful than walking in his presence. A condo in Florida on the beach won't do it. I've been there. I've done that. Won't do it. Driving nice cars, been there. Won't do it. Nothing can take the place of the presence of Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, my people, preaching to the crowd, they think they're going to find happiness and peace if I just get my bills paid, get a bigger bank account, have a nicer car instead of that one that's breaking down all the time on the highway out there. He says, my people have got to stop looking out there and go in here. Go in here. Go in here where the river of life is. Christ in you. That's probably a big revelation that's come forth probably in the last 10 years. You hear an awful lot of talk about Christ in you. But do we really know what that means? We say, oh yeah, bless God. That's the great mystery. It's been hidden from the ages. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But are we fellowshipping with that Christ? Do we know him intimately? Do we know him personally? Or do we just want to know him because of his healing power, the finances, he can help us pay our bills, he can help straighten out relationships with the wife and the husband, he can give us direction? Those are all wonderful things, and God does those things, and God will continue to do those things. But do you really know him? I could write you a check, pay your bills off. But, you know, you could walk in here. I could walk into a strange church and give them some money and sing a nice song, preach a sermon, walk out of here. Would they know me? Nope. This is probably a poor example. I don't even know if the Lord wants me to bring it up. But I talked to a brother just this week that wanted to rent an apartment of mine that I own out east. And he called and said, Mr. Wilson, I understand you own this building. Yeah. He said, well, I'd like to rent that unit number 10 from you. And I said, okay, tell me something about yourself. Because I don't put anybody in this building. I got a lot of senior people in there. I love those people. I don't want any druggies in there, party animals. So I really scrutinize the people that go in this. I mean, I really do. And if they don't like it, I just let them hang up. Because if you're that touchy, you got something to hide. Okay? First thing this guy says to me, I said, tell me a little bit of something about yourself. I'll call him Bill. I'm not going to use his real name. He said, well, I'm a Christian. I said, well, praise the Lord. So am I. He said, I heard that about you. He said, I talked to your building manager, and she said, you are a nice fellow and that you were a Christian. I said, yeah, well, I'm a Christian. I don't know what the nice fellow. He says, well, I'm a Christian. I said, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. He says, well, I'm a Christian. I said, that's good, you know. Tell me about yourself. I says, where are you living? And he says, well, Right now, I'm moving out. He said, I'm living with my girlfriend. We've been together for 3 years. And her son's on drugs. And he said, I can't stand drugs. So I told her I'm moving out. Okay. And I said, you work? Got a job? He said, now, if you're going to run a credit check on me, I won't get that apartment. I said, why is that? I got a lot of bills and a lot of mom behind on, and I got a lot of people looking for me. He's laughing, you know. But I'm a Christian. Why is it that we have so many eagles with broken wings? Why is it that we have so many eagles with broken wings? The Lord said they're all eagles, every one of them. Everyone that I've saved, been washed in my blood, they're all eagles, every one of them, potential eagles. They don't know Him. Are they saved? Yes. I believe with all my heart they are. They can give you a testimony about how they accepted Jesus Christ. They walked down the aisle, whatever. Or they were in a car, or they were in a bar. I've talked to guys who were in a bar that got saved. Jimmy Mill. But they don't know the Lord. Because in knowing God, that's when your life starts changing. Because you start seeing the Lord, and when you see the Lord, you start becoming like Him. So that's the message. And there's a verse of Scripture, and it says, the way of the wise is above, that they might escape from the hell beneath. It's in Proverbs. The way of the wise is above, that they might escape from the hell beneath. There's no reason to go through the hell beneath. Now, God will use it all. But if we find ourselves going from one hellacious place to another hellacious place to another hellacious place, we need to seek the face of God, because He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'll end it with this. In the days gone by, I hear the Lord say to me as I was sitting here and Oscar was talking, there have been good days, good times. There have been acceptable days, acceptable times. But the Lord is saying, now I want my church to move into the perfect. We're going to start hearing, I think, a little different word. It's going to stretch our faith. It's going to test our faith. You know, Paul says, test yourself. See if you're in the faith. Look at the fruit of your life. Jim, look at the fruit of your life. And if all of a sudden the fruit looks a little stinky and rotten, then go back for a pruning. Go back for a pruning a little bit. It was Einstein that said the definition of insanity was to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I think in many of the churches today, we keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and expecting different results. I hear the Lord saying, it's time to change. It's time to change. Hallelujah. Father, You said that they search the Scriptures for in them that they think they have eternal life. But these are they which tell you about Me. But You said to the religious ones, but you won't come to Me that you might have life, this Zoe life. Come to Me that you might have life. We've walked in so many challenges, so much sickness and disease, many financial disasters, Lord, that we've just come to believe that you're just testing us. I think we need to change some of that thinking, Lord. I don't want to tell a man when he comes to me and he can't pay his bills and he's got cancer, well, Lord's just testing you. Because how can I expect a healing from a God that's given me cancer? I like what Kenneth Copeland said one time, if God gave you cancer, then pray for more cancer. If that's what's going to perfect you and if that's what's going to mature you, I think we need to change some thinking, Lord. I know that you said that in the world there'll be tribulation and suffering and things of that nature. I get it. I get it for righteousness' sake. But you also said that you came to undo all the works of the devil, and you went about healing everyone that was sick. Father, I thought that this message was going to be a message about healing. And it is. It is. It starts with us going to you and changing, allowing you to change the way we think, Lord. Father, when I got saved, I went and talked to my priest. He said I had an experience. It probably won't happen again. I went to the Baptist church, and they told me I had been born again, but they didn't tell me anything about this life that was living inside of me. I went to another church that talked to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and that was wonderful, but they never talked to me about the living Christ, the fellowship, the intimacy that I could have with you, Lord. I went through all the church houses. And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, the only way you come into an intimate relationship with me is not through your pastor, not through the holy buddies that you hang around with, but it's one-on-one. This is one-on-one. It's you and me in that cocoon, in that quiet place where you get to know me. Just like when I saved Paul, he didn't go to the holy ones up in Jerusalem. He went out into a desert place for some years, one-on-one. One-on-one, that's when he got all those revelations about the Christ in him and he was crucified with me. Then he went back up to Jerusalem to talk to John and Peter and the holy brothers. But he came off to the side and he got to know this life that we're talking about. When the angel went to Peter and opened up the prison doors, the angel spoke to Peter and he said, the Lord said, go into the temple and tell the people all about this life. All about this life. This new life. This newness of life that you can live through the knowledge of Him. And the only way you're going to get that knowledge is to spend time with Him. You don't qualify by going to church three times a week. You don't qualify by singing in the choir. Those things are wonderful, they're fine, and we need them. But you got to go to Him if you want to change. You might become a better singer in the choir. You might even look more religious if you come to church two or three times a week instead of just one time. But if you want to change into His image and into His likeness, and that was the plan from Genesis, let's make them into our image and into our likeness. That's the plan. And we're in that hour right now, Lord, where you're calling a people up And you're going to send the people out. But they're not going to be religious. They're going to have relationship. They're going to have the knowledge of you. Oscar wrote a poem here. It says, I'm calling you up to a place you've not known, where the secrets of my will soon be shown. The hour is calling for you to lay down your life. The heartaches, the problems, the struggle, and the strife. He's wanting us to lay that down too. If you'll follow on to know me in the fullness of my will, I'll take off the limitations as you get quiet and still and show you plainly of the Father in me, which will cause you to change and cause you to be a reflection of the Father and of the Son. For creation cannot be set free until we are one. If I can't do it in you, I can't do it through you. Don't act like you don't have unforgiveness in your heart. Don't act like you love all your brothers when you know you don't, or your sisters. When you can barely look at somebody and go, I don't like it. I never liked that person. Why? I don't know. Just never liked them. You know what I'm saying? I know what I'm saying, because I go through that myself. And the Lord's really been on my case about bring those things to me and I will change you. Bring them to me. As soon as you get that icky, ugly thoughts, bring them to me. Because I can't change myself. 33 years ago when I got saved, I was a problem child. And I had financial problems and everything. But the day I got saved, the Lord said, if you hold my hand and walk with me, I'm not going to miraculously deliver you instantaneously out of all these problems, Jimmy, that you created. But we will walk over them. You'll have a peace in the midst of them. And one by one, I will totally restore your marriage. I will restore your finances. I will restore your health. One by one, as you hold my hand. He is a good, loving God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you have a song? Just a praise you, God.
Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be like you. It is my heart's desire.
Praise you, Lord.
I want to know you face to face, not from afar.
Praise you.
To die to my own will and lay all of my ambitions down, then to wholly seek your face while walking in your grace.
Amen. Amen.
Take my life. Let it be wholly unto thee. Take my life, let it be holy unto thee, a living sacrifice. Give you my life. I give it all to you. Lord, I give you my life. It's in your hands, my life and every plan. It's in your hand, my will I yield to your command. For I know that you know best, even when I just don't understand. Lord, I'm learning to trust you and leave it in your hands.
Amen, amen, amen,
amen. For I know that you know best, even when I just don't understand. Father, I'm learning to trust you. So take my life, let it be wholly unto thee. Take my life, let it be sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. My love, I give it all to you. Lord, I give you my life. Take it all, take every part of me. Lord, I give you my
you, Lord.